One of the things that was fascinating this week and that kept coming up, even as I'm thinking about what to talk about in this podcast, it's like there was one clear thing. And that is, what do we call it? Peace? Well, see, I'm finding myself in some various strange situations. I am sitting on an audio recording of a Taiwanese boss telling me that the boss hates foreigners. And I've already put it on the Taiwan YouTube channel, but I haven't said who's in that recording. And for the last, we're pushing 11 years. For the last 11 years, I have been in a position to make unilateral demands. And I haven't. I could have gone to the press with that. And I haven't. Instead, I found a way to survive Taiwan's ridiculous treatment of its own people and, of course, any foreigners, so that I could find the good and report on the good. And I have. I've continued to do the best I can anywhere and everywhere I go to encourage friendship, love. The biggest opposition I've gotten is Sunday morning people in Taiwan. I go to Hong Kong. Hong Kong, it's a yay boo. If I'm dealing with people from China, then things get ugly really fast. But if I'm dealing with normal Hong Kongers, there's not really a lot of... I don't really run into problems if I'm dealing with normal, real Hong Kong people who've grown up and understood the freedom and the Western open international thinking that... Well, see, in 97, when Hong Kong went back away from Britain, at that point, there had only been three newspapers in all of Hong Kong. But when it went back to being China and Britain no longer controlled it, I mean, they had hundreds of newspapers. In fact, newspapers in Hong Kong are pretty much no longer a viable business. They literally stack hundreds of newspapers on the street and throw them at you free of charge as you walk by because there's so many of them. So it's not that lucrative of a business. But as that happened, the international perspective in Hong Kong really opened up. And so they have a world view that's based in the world, not just, you know, three newspapers. And they also have a perspective of freedom and free speech and a free market. So as I deal with Christians in Hong Kong, I don't really have a problem. But as I've stayed in Taiwan, I've done my best to speak the good, to talk about what's good, to report the good. But it's getting to a point where I'm starting to ask myself, it's like, okay, I've been surviving, but Taiwan has not fixed the problem. They have not redressed the unacceptable things that they do to so many people, myself being only one of those many people that they do this to. And it's getting to a point where I'm asking myself, am I a bad person if I don't say something, if I don't make some of the unilateral demands that I'm capable of making? It's like, this is really bad what you did, and you will be nice and good and fix it. Like, am I the parent who doesn't punish the children if I don't blow the whistle? So I'm having that conscientious moment where I'm contemplating these things. The issue is I've never crossed that point because I've always had hope that there's still time and that there's hope for progress. And little tiny small things have developed which are good that would not have developed if I had blown the whistle earlier. I mean, it's a snail's pace. The snail is moving across the road and, you know, traffic is coming, but it won't be here for another 60 seconds. Now, the snail at this rate is going to take 60 minutes to finish getting across the road. So maybe in about 50 seconds, I'm just going to kick the snail across the road. But for now, I'll let it continue to crawl. Who knows what's going to happen in the next, you know, 45 seconds or so. That's kind of how I feel as I look at this problem. And as I've taken that approach, I have been able to enter into situations that under normal American presumptions, under our normal expectations of what's going to happen and what's not going to happen, everything would have just all fallen apart and gone to seed, as it were. Just the whole thing would have fallen apart and I still wouldn't be here if I had gone to the mattresses immediately. But by being patient and just rolling with the punches and just choosing to keep on keeping on, so many amazing things have happened. And so I don't want to sit here and get all impatient and artificially say, well, time should be up, when it's not. So I'm asking myself, I'm looking at things, I'm asking myself, I'm saying, you know, what's going on? What's the right thing to do? That patience that I've had with Taiwan, continuing to say good things about Taiwan, continuing to fill in Congress on needs and benefits, trying to get good laws passed, trying to give people in Taiwan positive advice about how they can understand Americans better. Most of it is in one ear and out the other, but a lot of it, a good chunk, does actually make a very positive difference. And so learning to make peace is one of the skills that I've acquired. And I would not have learned that if I was in an environment such as America, dedicated to destroying peace at any cost. No matter what happens, we come up with our excuses and we just dive into something. We say, you know, you're bad. This is why you're bad. You have to change immediately. It's like, well, that's cute and all that you have your excuses all lined up in advance, but are you actually making a positive difference somewhere? It's so easy to yell at anybody and everybody when you've never made one score in your entire life. But when you're talking to the person who's doing pretty well, who's, you know, maybe not MVP, but you got someone that's on the startup roster, you know, maybe you shouldn't criticize those people if you haven't had the results. You know, of course, you know, that's my thinking. I've told myself that a lot. So, I am in some very interesting situations. And as part of it is, dealing with Royu in the Olympics. You know, he's been selected by Taiwan's government to be groomed as a candidate for the Olympics. But at the same time, he's got a culture that says the way to go to the Olympics is don't practice, don't exercise, and keep studying in school all the time. It's like, okay, at some point I'm going to hit the crazy alarm and say, y'all are crazy. So how do I go deal with that? Everybody's telling me that can't be negotiated with, that there's no way for Royu to be able to practice for the Olympics the amount of time that's required of him. I'm not so sure that nobody will listen. Maybe they'll listen to me. After all, I've demonstrated levels of patience. So it's really amazing what patience can accomplish, but it shouldn't last forever. You know, patience doesn't mean lying down and letting people walk all over you. It means don't go to the mattresses too soon. And it also means that there are a lot of doors that open only very slowly. And we don't have to blow up those doors that open at their own pace.